The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
It took place on the 6th day of Sivan, the day that we celebrate Shavuot. One of the 10 commandments, the 4th commandment, which is Shemais Kof. The mitzvah of Shabbos. The offer of Shem of Shabbos to catch it. Remember Shabbos to sanctify it. 6 days in Tavay, but 6 days you should work, and you should do all your work. The 7th day should be a Shabbos to the Lord your God. You shall not do all types of work. That's all you need for the Tefer. You, your son, your daughter, your servant, your maidservant, your ventefo, your animal, the gear, and your gear, the tablet which is in your gates. 6 days, because in 6 days, because the Lord who made the heavens and the earth, as a yom is called a shalom, you made the sea and everything that's in it. By Yonah, by Yamashpin, you rested on the 7th day. Al Kain, Berak, Hashem, Hashem, Hashem is by Kachem. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed the 7th day, and he sanctified it. Rashi brings on the Pasuk, Zohar Hashem and Shabbos by Kachem, you shall remember Shabbos in the Kachem. But in Parshas, there's Hanukkah. Not say Zohar Hashem Shabbos to capture, but it says Shomer Hashem Shabbos to capture. Not you shall remember Shabbos to sanctify it, but you shall guard Shabbos to sanctify it. The 10 commandments, the Parshas Veskanim, these were the second request, the second commandments given to Moshe Rabbeinu. The first ones were broken on the mountain when Moshe came down. Then Moshe went back up. He came down after the first 40 days, saw the golden calf. Then Moshe went back up, he spent another 40 days, and the third 40 days, and then the Baruch Hu gave him the second set of Luchos of tablets. And this was on Yom Kippur, he came down. And there are various shinuyim, there are slight differences. The way the first 10 commandments were written, or the second 10 commandments were written. Now one of these differences is in this word, Zohar and Shomer. So Rashi explains here in the Chazal, Zohar v'shomer b'divorecho demu, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the mitzvah, the 10 commandments, Zohar and Shomer were given for both. And in one dibur, he said both Zohar and Shomer, something which is impossible for a human being to do. Except in the way it's written in the Torah, the first 10 commandments is written Zohar, and the second 10 commandments is written Shomer. Zohar means to remember Shabbos. That's a mitzvah setter, positive commandment. Shomer means to guard Shabbos. That's a mitzvah leisaser, negative commandment. What's the practical ramification of this? Shabbos has both a mitzvah setter, a positive commandment, and a negative commandment. Now the negative commandment, we understand, because this refers to the Leis Asek of Aloha. That's you're not allowed to do various types of mitzvahs on Shabbos, namely the 39 malachos. So this, where does it say this in the Torah? But this is inclusive, it's written in other places, but it is inclusive in the word shomer. You should guard yourself to guard the sanctity of Shabbos. Not do that. Not desecrate Shabbos with malachos, with work. Zohar is the mitzvah's essay in Shabbos. What does that refer to? But in a positive way, you should sanctify Shabbos. How do we sanctify Shabbos in a positive way? So, the more of the Zohar is to be Makadesh, to be Siosa, to be Yitziosa. But you should sanctify Shabbos in a positive way when Shabbos comes in and when Shabbos goes out. Shabbos comes in, you're Makadesh with Kiddush, and when it goes out, you're Makadesh with Abdullah. And the more says, Zohar Eil Alayayim. Chacham said that you should give more honor to this Zohar, and therefore Zohar al Yain, you should make Hiddush and Abdullah al Yain as well. Now, what does this mean, Zohar and Shomar, the Dibor Echot, that Akash Borch said it in one Dibor? It is something that we'll try to gain some insight in this evening. Another point here is in the last part of the passage that we read, Al Kain Beirach Hashem. It tells us three things. Firstly, it tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu worked 6 days. He did all of his work of the making of the heavens and earth 6 days, and he rested on the seventh day. This is one principle that the Torah tells us in. Second principle, Alkein Beirach Hashem, because Baruch Hu was Mavoret, he blessed the seventh day. And thirdly, Vaikat Shev, because Baruch Hu sanctified the seventh day. So 3 points the Torah tells us here. Because Baruch Hu worked 6 days and he rested on the seventh. He was Mavoret, he blessed the seventh day. Vaikat Shev, and he sanctified. The concepts of Shabbos are very, very deep. Let's see if we can, this evening, understand a few of them. On this principle, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu worked for 6 days, then he rested the seventh day, and therefore the seventh day was holy. So what this seems to be is, that he rested on the seventh day because he finished his work during the 6 days. He worked for 6 days, finished his work, he rested on the seventh day. Now this seems to be a simple concept. Worked for 6 days, finished his work, and therefore he rested on the seventh day. This is not true. The Medrash tells us these psukim are also brought in the Maaseh Bereishis, Parshas Bereishis, right after the Sheshit Me'olot, after the 6 days of the Torah, the creation of the world. And the Medrash tells us, and the Torah there tells us, Arechal Elokim Bayim Hashvi Malachtei Asher Asot. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu finished on the seventh day the work that he did. He rested on the seventh day from all the work that he was doing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed the seventh day and he sanctified it. Because there he rested from the work that he was going to do. So the Torah here tells us very similar to what it tells us in our parsha. The Medrash and this portion is in Perek Yud, Reishis Perek Yud. Perek Yud Aleph Osh Yud. Levi b'shem Rav Kama b'chamina Omar. Levi said, Shnei Shviya Shnei Yaakov Baruch Hu Beir B'chol Yen V'yem. Every day, on the 6 days, Yaakov Baruch Hu created 3 creations. Ve'echad Bore Shemayim Ha'aretz Ve'ora. First day he created the heaven, the earth and light, and the days. And the second day, Rakiya b'Gehenem Ha'alochem. Second day he created the Rakiya, sky, Gehenem, and Malochim, the angels. Third day, Ilana is the showing the Gan Eden. Third day, he created trees, vegetation, and Gan Eden. Fourth day, Chama, Ulevona, Umazoles. Fourth day, he created the sun, and the moon, and the Mazoles, the various astronomical bodies. Fifth day, Ophis, Dogim, and Leviosim. The fifth day, he created birds, fish, and the Leviosim. This is the great creatures of the sea. The sixth day, he created Adam, Chava, and Ramoshim. The sixth day, he created man, woman, and the Ramoshim, the creeping creatures. So he created 3 creations every day. Amar Pinchas, Pinchas comes to explain the Vav Boreshish. On the sixth day, Friday, he created 6 creations. Adam, Chava, the Remesh, the 3 that we mentioned, and also the Behemoth, Chaya, and Mreim, also the animals, wild animals, and the Mreim, these were such a great monsters. So every day he created 3, and on Friday he created 6. Amar Rabbanya, Asher Bora Lekim V'Osa Eng Sivka. So Rabbanya explains, because it does not say that he, on Shabbos, he rested, Asher Bora Lekim, he rested from everything that he created and made. But El Asher Bora Lekim Lasses, he rested from everything that he created to make. It tells us in the Torah that on the seventh day on Shabbos, Asher Bora Elekim, Asher Shabbos, on Shabbos Hashem rested from all of the work which he had created. And it should have said the Osa. He rested on Shabbos from all of the work that he created and he made. It doesn't say that. It says on Shabbos he rested from all of the work which he created to make. So what does it mean? He rested on Shabbos from all of the work that he was to make. Should have said he rested on Shabbos from all of the work which he has made. So Medrash explains, Kol Masha Yaakov Baruch Hu Osid Libres Design, Higdimu Bora Esai Devot. All of the work that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to make on Shabbos, he made it on Friday. He was going to make 3 creations every day. 3 on Friday and 3 on Shabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested on Shabbos from all of the work Asher Bora Lasos, from all of the work which he was going to make, he rested on Shabbos. From that he was going to create on Shabbos, he created on Friday in order to rest on Shabbos. This is why every day 3 things were created and on Friday 6 things were created. This is what the Midrash tells us. So we see, you can ask the question, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu take what he was going to make on Shabbos and instead made them on Friday? Why did he make them on Shabbos? So you'll answer, because he wanted to rest on Shabbos. But the reason why he rested on Shabbos is because he finished his work there in the 6 days. He finished his work in 6 days and therefore he rested on Shabbos. Now, why did he take what he was going to make on Shabbos and make it on Friday? Because he was going to rest on Shabbos. He wanted to rest on Shabbos. But the reason why he wanted to rest on Shabbos was because he completed his work during the 6 days. Here we see he didn't complete his work on 6 days. We see just the opposite. Not that because he completed his work during the 6 days, therefore he rested on Shabbos. But rather, in order to rest on Shabbos, he completed his work during the 6 days. So we see a different point here altogether. This is a very deep concept. We see something different. But Shabbos wasn't, because Baruch Hu didn't rest on Shabbos because he completed his work. His work really naturally was not completed during the 6 days. But because Baruch Hu had chosen beforehand that he must rest on Shabbos, This is why he completed his work during the 6 days. This is what the Medrash is telling us. What does this show us? The Shabbos is not something that merely took place because HaKadosh Baruch Hu finished his work. Therefore he rested. Shabbos was set aside before the month of Rishis as a day of rest. Therefore this demanded even from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should finish his work before. Therefore he hurried to finish everything before in order to rest in Shabbos. The Guraye, around the crowd, brings this same point out with a different proof. Also, here in Bereishis states, "Vayachal Elohim b'yom ha'shvi malachti asher asah." Hashem completed his work on the seventh day. So Rashi brings to the Medrash, what does it mean? Hashem completed his work on the seventh day? Should say Hashem completed his work on the sixth day. "Vayachal Elohim b'yom ha'shvi" means Hashem completed on the seventh day. What does that mean? Rashi brings from the Medrash. Shimon Aimer, "Vos v'dom sheni yedei hita v'rgor tzorech la'isim v'chol ala kedush." A human being, if he wants that on Shabbos he cannot do any work, so he cannot stop right when Shabbos begins, because it's impossible for him to measure time in such a minute measure. So he has to be lazy. Call ala kodesh, he has to stop a little earlier. He has to stop a little on Friday in order to make sure that he doesn't go into Shabbos. But Avala Kodesh Baruch Hu Shiyadei Yita Vargo, Avala Kodesh Baruch Hu, that knows the exact time. Nichnas Bei Kechut HaSarah. Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't have to add from Friday to Shabbos. He wants to stop work for Shabbos, so he can stop exactly on Shabbos. The breath of a hair. V'nireh ki ilu kolab bei b'yayim. And therefore it seems as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped on Shabbos itself. This is what the Medrash says, it's the Pirush. The Medrash says, Rashi brings. This Pirush, this is what the Medrash explains, Vayachal Elohim b'yom ha'shvi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped his work on the seventh day. It means exactly as the seventh day was beginning. So the Maral asks a very strong question. When did HaKadosh Baruch Hu start? On the 7th day or on the 6th day? He didn't work on Shabbos. He stopped on the 6th day. The only difference is that a person will have to stop a half an hour or 20 minutes or 15 minutes before the 7th day. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will stop right at the dividing line between the end of the 6th day and the beginning of the 7th day. But when did he stop? He stopped his work on the 6th day. Still, why? It doesn't answer the question. Why does it say by the Chalav Ekin by Emashvi that HaKadosh Baruch Hu stop on the seventh day? So the Maral explains as follows. If it would have said by the Chalav Ekin by Emashvi HaKadosh Baruch Hu stop the sixth day, so that would imply that he stopped on the sixth day and there was a time lapse between when he stopped his work and between Shabbos started. There's still some time left. Therefore, the Torah writes that he stopped in Ashvi on the seventh. Now, we can't make a mistake to say that he worked actually on the seventh day, because the Torah right here tells us why he's raised by him Ashvi, that he rested on the seventh day. So, therefore, the Torah wrote two ways. It wrote that he stopped on the seventh day and he rested on the seventh day, to show us that he stopped exactly at the cut-off point between the sixth and seventh day. But had it written that he stopped on the sixth day, then it would imply that he stopped mid of the sixth day. Missed of the sixth day, then there was still time left over. Now, this he asks. All right, so this is, from here we understand now what it means he stopped on the seventh day. This is now asks, so what would be that the Torah writes simply he stopped on the sixth day, and we think there was still some time left? There was still some time left. What would be? The Torah is coming to tell us to teach us a great thing. If it would tell us that he stopped on the sixth day from his work and there was still time left over before the seventh, this means that he rested on the seventh because he had already finished his work on the sixth. A person finishes his work and now he goes to a rest. The Torah wants to tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu worked continually until the seventh day came. And immediately as the seventh day was entering, then he stopped. Not that he stopped his work, and then he rested on the seventh. The seventh day caused him to immediately stop and terminate all of his work. This is what the Torah is teaching. This point, if this brings it, and it brings an additional proof to it. Because the Medrash says that Erev Shabbos ben Hashmoshes, Erev Shabbos, just as the sun was setting, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Shein, created the devils. This is what the Chazal tells us. Created the devils, Erev Shabbos, just as the sun was setting. And the sun set, and he didn't have time to finish it. The Laidikma. The Chazal tells us. He was creating the devils just as the sun was setting. The sun set, and he didn't complete it. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested because he completed all his work, so he should have continued working. So we see that this that the Torah tells us. Vayonach b'yom hashvi'i, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested on the seventh, does not mean he rested on the seventh because he completed his work on the sixth. Just to the contrary. He completed his work in the sixth day in order to rest on the seventh. The seventh day is not a yeser, is not an effect of the lack of work of the 6 days. Rather, the seventh day is the cause why everything must be finished on the 6 days. What does this teach us? That Shabbos was a day which was set aside for Kiddush and for Shvisa and for rest before the completing of all of the work. And this is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu completed the work during the 6 days. Why is this? We find that Shvi, the seventh day, or in general the dimension of seven, has a special significance. And this is a medrash in Parshas Emor. In the good eye, the Rav mentions one phrase in the medrash. The medrash in Emor, what is it doing in Emor? Because there the Torah tells us, Bachedish Hashvi, the seventh month, you should make Rosh Hashanah. The medrash is asking, why should you make Rosh Hashanah in the seventh month? You come from this, and Rosh Hashanah is the seventh month. You should. So, Medrash and Parsha Kof test, those tests. Kol Hashvin Chabibin Lareim. All sevens, any dimension of seven, is Chabibin. It has a special endearment, a special significance. And the first one that's mentioned, so the Maral makes point that this is the Shadish, this is the source of all of it. L'malem hashpichol. You know, the Torah mentions many times Shemayim, the heavens. And there are various terms used for the heavens. And it's a little difficult to describe what are the heavens. Because the Baruch Hu created the earth and he created the heavens. The heaven is what we would say the heavens, but it's space. The space. We can go further and further in space. We find that the Torah uses seven different descriptions for the heavens. And the Chazal tell us these are seven different dimensions in the heavens that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. The Malum, when we deal with the heavens, the seventh heaven is the most holy, is the most precious. There's Shemayim, then there's Shmei Shemayim, the Torah mentions Shmei Shemayim, the heavens of the heavens. There's Rokia, the word Rokia. There's Shchokim, Zavul, Ma'on, Be'arovas, the Arovas. Seven different expressions. Torah, the Tanakh, uses for the heavens. Used for the heavens. Uksiv Sulei L'Reichev, Be'arovas. Be'kosh Shmei. Kodesh Baruch Hu, his place is at the seventh. This is where his throne is. So we see that seventh has a special minyan. And then the Medrash continues, which we don't have time to go into now. But it continues, for example, shows us seven different dimensions in the land, seven different dimensions in generations, the list of generations, seven different dimensions in the Omis. Meisha was the seventh. Abraham, Yitzchok, Yaakov, Levi, Kos, Amram, and Meisha. Moshe was the seventh from Abraham. And it continues on. Then it mentions that there are the 7 years of the Shemitah. And in the seventh day is Shabbos. And the seventh month is Rosh Hashanah. So again we see that it's not merely the Mikra, not merely a incidental happening because it happened that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to finish all of his work during the 6 days. Therefore he was Mekadesh the seventh day. Had he finished all of his work in 5 days, he would have been Mekadesh the sixth day. Had he finished all of his work in the 7 days, he would have been Mekadesh the eighth. No. Seventh was destined before to be Kodesh. Therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure to finish his work during the 6 days. That's why that what was supposed to be created in the seventh day, he created in the sixth day. And why was the seventh destined before to be Mekudesh? Because La'ilam Ashkich HaVimim, the dimension of seven is always special. Now, to understand why seven is always special, this is something very, very difficult. But just one insight into this, and this is what the Maral writes in many places. The physical world is limited to 6 aspects. The greatest dimensions that anything can have in the physical world is 6. Because if you take anything that's physical, so it can have a width, it can have a length, it can have a depth. It can have 6 aspects, but not more. Take a cube. So there will be 6 different dimensions to it. And this is the maximum of the physical world. Something that has 7 sides already. This is not found in the physical world. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, it was limited to a dimension of 6 levels. And anything that we take that's physical, the most it can have is 6 dimensions. And this is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu used 6 days to create the physical world. 7 already. This is something which is beyond this physical world. It is something which is beyond the physical world, but still has a relation to the physical world. And how is that? If we take a block, so we said it will have 6 sides. No more. In addition to that, it has an emsa. It has a center point. Now the center point is not a new dimension physically, because actually the center point does not assume any space whatsoever. So it's not a new dimension in physical space at all. But nevertheless, it is somewhat of a dimension. But not physical. But it's related to the physical world. So in the concept of time, anything which is within the concept of 6 dimensions, this relates to this world. The 7th already, this is something which is beyond this world, but still it can relate somehow also to this world. So this gives us a little insight into why Shvi, the 7th day, is called. We mentioned that another principle, 2 other principles that I learned from this portion, and they're both in the parsha of Maaseh Bereishis and here in Yisro, Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed the day by Kadshehu and he sanctified. He gave bracha to Shabbos and he gave sanctification to Shabbos. Actually, these two terms are contradictory. Beirah, Bora, is a physical blessing. Kedusha, sanctified, this is already abstinence, abstain. Because sanctity, this is something which is above the person, something beyond the person, something which is separated from the person. Bracha, this is something which is growth in this world, it's close to the person. So these are two contradictory statements. Rashi brings here from the Medrash and in Gracious, Borku b'mon the koflan b'shishi lecha mishne b'kitshu b'mon. Borku b'mon b'kitshu. He blessed Shabbos with the mon, and he sanctified Shabbos with the mon. He blessed Shabbos with the mon because on Friday every day one measure of mon came. On Friday two measures of mon came. That's bracha. See, bless Shabbos with mon. The kitchup of mon, and he sanctified it with mon, because on Shabbos, no mon came. When they went out in the fields on Shabbos, there was no one to be found. That's a contradictory concept. The kedusha of Shabbos, sanctity of Shabbos for us, that no mon felt. The bracha of Shabbos, the blessing of Shabbos was, there was a double portion of mon. But that came on Friday. Because I'll say, Borchu b'mon, v'kitshu b'mon. And it doesn't only mean with the mon. It means this is the essence of Shabbos. And it was one of the ways that it was manifested was through the mon. So you see, Shabbos had both of these principles. It has bracha, and it has kedusha. Bracha was close to the person, and kedusha was far from the person. Now the Medrash. Medrash in Rashi's. So this is in which is in Perek Yud. This is in Perek Yud, Osh Yud. And this medrash also is on the pasuk that we mentioned before, by Achal Elokim Bayim Hashvi. Baruch Hu completed his work on the seventh day. So we asked before, how was it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu completed his work on the seventh day, completed his work on the sixth day? So we brought what the medrash said. Now there's another medrash. What does it mean that he completed his work on the seventh day? Not like we said it before, this interpretation. He completed it on the seventh day, mamish. But he didn't work on the seventh day. With the creation of Shabbos was the completion of the work. By Chalel Akim Bayim Hashvi, Kodesh Baruch Hu completed the creation of the world on the seventh day. Because with the creation of Shabbos came the creation of the world. Now the Medrash explains. Moses says, Gediva b'Rabbonim. There are two opinions as to what does this mean, believer and the Rabbonim. Believer says, Moshe Lamelech Chosel Echupa. The example is of a king who made a chupa. Itzayora v'kayora. Now a chupa is not really what we think a chupa is. A chupa is a special bayis, a special home that a person would make for the chasen. He would make it for his wife. So a king made a beautiful chupa. made a beautiful home, a palace, which was to be for his new queen, for his new queen, for his caliph. He made a beautiful kupa, chayora b'chayora, and he made it with all type of beautiful engravings in beautiful gold and cement and concrete wood. What was it lacking? Kala shitukonis l'seiko. It was lacking of the kala. Kach mahay elum chosar. So it was with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world. The world was his kupa. What was it missing? It was missing the kala. Therefore he made Shabbos. Rabbonan Amri, Rabbonan say, Moshe l'melech shos le'katz. Example of a king who made a ring for himself, a beautiful ring. Maharisha Khasera, a chosem. What was it lacking? It was lacking a chosem, the signet. The king has a ring with a royal signet. And with this, he gives the royal stamp to his official documents. So he made a ring and it was lacking the signet. Kach Mahoya Elam Chosem. Shabbos was like a ring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The world was like a ring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What was it missing? It was missing the royal signet. It was Chosar Shabbos. Shabbos was the signet. Therefore he made Shabbos and he had the signet. But I wouldn't say if it's finished, he said, but ma'am, he's my father, this is very, very, very deep. Let's learn a little more. We find the Gemara, the Gemara says that the Gemara is speaking, what's it doing about the Kama? The Gemara says that if you run and run into someone, and you damage him, you're responsible. Riding the Kama, you damage someone, you're responsible. Mostly what happens if you run out of Shabbos, if you're really ready for Shabbos. It wasn't for Shabbos. It wasn't because it's a mitzvah to run out of Shabbos, to even cover Shabbos. Then it brings that the Talmidim, the Avroim, the Tanoim, they used to go out before Shabbos. They would go to the cover Shabbos before Shabbos was coming, after it's coming, then they would go to the cover Shabbos. And in the Tzadkin, in the Tzadkin, put on a talis and the cover Shabbos. What they say? They would say, Boy, they'd say, Likras Kalo, let us go meet the Kala. So you see, the Shabbos was called the Kala. And also the Gemara says, they would say, Boy, Neite Likras Shabbos Malchus. Let us go meet the Shabbos Queen. See, Shabbos also was called a Queen. It's called both a Kala and it's called a Queen. Nivarasa. Shabbos has this dimension. Shabbos has this dimension of being a kala. Because God created the world, it was like a beautiful palace that he was making for his kala. But it lacked the kala. So he made Shabbos, which became the kala. A kala is something which brings a person close to. Kala, you become married to. It brings two neshamas close together. It's a mishaplus, it's a joining of two people into one, making them into one. The king has a chupa. He has a beautiful palace that he made for his kala. And he has no kala, so then he has no relation to the chupa. Through the kala, he is brought close to the chupa. He is brought close to his home. Kodesh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, he had no kesher. He had no bond with the world. Why? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu is Kodesh. Kodesh Baruch Hu is sacred. The world is cold. The world lacks anything. The word cold comes from the word chulu. Cholol. Cholol means emptiness, vacuum. The world lacks in Kedusha. So how can a Kedusha Baruch Hu have a kesher, have a bind with the world? He needed something which would act as the bond between he and the world, which would bring him close to the world. And this was Shabbos. If the world was only 6 days of Malacha, then it would not be bound to him. Because that's kol, that's a vacuum, emptiness from Kiddush and Kodesh. Through Shabbos, this was the medium which bound HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the world. And why Shabbos? Because Shabbos, we mentioned, is something which is beyond the world. It's higher than the world. It's the dimension of Yom HaShvi'i, the seventh day. And at the same time, it still has a attachment to the world. So Shabbos is attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the world together. Just as a king who builds a palace for his kala, if there's no kala, he has no attachment to the palace. He makes a kala, now he is brought together with the palace. So the Shabbos bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the world. So through Shabbos, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to the world. That's what it means by Echala Lekim Bayim Hashvi. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu finished his work on Shabbos. Because without Shabbos, the world left. The dimension of Kalo is the dimension of Broch. The Gemara identifies both together. For example, it's a Kalo must have a Broch. It's Kalo bele Broch, Asura le Baile Kenigo. And it says the Kalo must have a Broch. Kalo, whichever Broch. Because a kala is what joins two together. This is brocha. Brocha is when there is growth. There is the joining. Together, there is this ribu. This growth. For example, when Baruch created the world, he said, let there be brocha. There was growth. Therefore, Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Shabbos. Shabbos brought HaKadosh Baruch Hu close to the world. And it brought Baruch Hu into the world. And this is what is meant by Avorech Elokim, Hashem Hashem. Al-Kain Beirach Hashem, Hashem Hashem. And the Chazal tell us, what does that mean? Baruch Hu B'mon. There had to be more Mon for Shabbos. There had to be more physical sustenance coming from Shabbos. Because Shabbos is brought Brocha to the world. So how did it show itself? It was a double portion. This is what Geneva says. What did the Rabbonim say? Rabbonim Amri, Rabbonim say, Moshe Lomel, Shos, Lomel, Shos, Lomel. Makes the semen in the wind. Then it takes on a different dimension altogether. It becomes the royal emblem. If there's a ring, you can have a ring which is the most valuable ring in the world. If someone else buys it, it belongs to someone else. But when he places the royal signet in the ring, then it's royal. Then it becomes the royal ring. But the Baruch Hu made the world. Now again, the world was cold. The world lacked sanctity. It wasn't a royal world. It wasn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world yet. It had to be elevated, uplifted. It lacked the royal singing. Maho Yechotza Arfeisim. Zakurish Boch who gave it the royal singing. What was the royal singing? Shabbos. When he gave Shabbos to the world, this gave a tzura. This gave a character to the world of royalty. Just like you take a ring. And it can be from the most beautiful rings. But when you give it its royal signet, now it has royal character. Now it's the ring of the king. It was God who made the world. It was a world. But when he gave it Shabbos, Shabbos gave it a new character. It gave it a new personality. A new essence. And this was the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now this is not the dimension of Kala. This is the dimension of Malchus. And again, Shabbos was able to do this. Why? Because Shabbos was a power which could relate itself to this world and relate itself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it attached itself to both and elevated the world to him. When Shabbos came, it was a different world. Again, this is what it meant by Echal Elohim and Ashvi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu finished his work on the seventh day with Shabbos. Because on the sixth day, the world did not have his imprint on it. Not have his royal stamp. Shabbos, it took out his royal stamp. Now here we're not speaking of something which would bring a Kodesh Baruch Hu close to the world. Like the Caliph would bring the king close to him, close to her. But here we're speaking of elevating a ring to the point where it becomes the royal. Elevate the world to the point where it has the stamp of the Melech Malkei Melochim. This is an elevation. And just like the when you take a seal and you make that into the ring, you actually are not adding anything physical to the ring. The ring before was a physical form. But rather you are giving it now an essence. So did Shabbos give the world an essence. So this is an elevation. This is the Bechina, this is the dimension of Kedusha. This is the dimension of Shabbos Malchus, that Shabbos is a Melech. Shabbos was the Melech, Shabbos was the queen. And the dimension of a queen or a king, this is something which is elevated. Something that's separated. Actually, it's a contrary dimension to a Kalah. The Kala is someone that brings another one close to each other. And a king demands fear. A king demands the greatest of respect. A king is separated and is beyond the nation. So this uplifted the world. This is what the Chazal tell us. Al Kain Beirach Hashem Hashem Ashvi by Katshe Kichu B'Hem, sanctify the world. When he sanctified the world, this means that the world came to a new elevation, to a new level, and it was sanctity. What was the sanctity? Shula Yorach Be'asamon. On Shabbos there was no more. So they said, do not go out into the fields. And do not do any work because it's kodesh, it's sanctified. On Shabbos there is no more. So you have both of these dimensions. Brocha, where brought forth a brocha into the world, and kichu, where brought forth a sanctity into the world. The brocha was there was more mon, and the sanctity was that there was no mon on Shabbos. These are contrary concepts. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wove them both into the fiber of Shabbos. in one way, Shabbos brought HaKadosh Baruch Hu closer to the world, like the dimension of a Kala. In another way, it elevated the world, like as in the dimension of a king. And therefore we find both of these dimensions in Shabbos. With this we can understand now the other point we mentioned. Not a parsha states Zohar Hashem HaShabbos the parsha. You should remember Shabbos to be the Kaddish. Rashi tells us that in the other Aseres Atim, you should write Shomer Hashem HaShabbos the parsha. That you should guard Shabbos and not profane it. Chazal tell us Zohar v'Shomer b'dibur echad yam. Both Zohar and Shomer were dealing with one dibur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, he said both at one time. And they're really contrary concepts. Because Zohar is to positively do something for Shabbos. Shomer is to negatively abstain from Shabbos. And one is a mitzvah zeh, and one is a mitzvah leis aseh. And there's the plow from the Ramban. And the Rambam writes that Mitzvah Esseh is Keech HaAvod. Mitzvah Esseh comes from the Keech HaAvod with a great love to do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this precipitates us into one to do. Avod maybe the day's reaches. That's Mitzvah Esseh. Negative commandments, this comes from the Keech HaYireh, from the power of fear. You fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore you're careful not to do what you should do. Because I'll say, fear brings for a person to be very careful, cautious. So they can't feel it. How could they be woven both together here and at one time will we say? This is the double entity of Shabbos. The Shabbos has both Zohar and Shomor. Shabbos serves both of these purposes. It's both a Kala, Shabbos Kala, and Shabbos Malchus. It has the Barocha in it, and it has the Kiddush in it. Therefore we find Shabbos, a person has the inner feeling for something very nice. He's very close to and something very pleasant. And it's full of bracha. And you're obligated to be ma'anek on Shabbos, to enjoy yourself on Shabbos. At the same time, he has the inner feeling that it's something which is very sanctified. It belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, these two hargoshes are never in one place. For example, you go to the Beis Hamikdash, he feels that he's walking in a Kodesh Baruch Hu's territory. And we find Yira Yisera Nitzdav Al Hamikdash. Mikdash HaTirohu, the person is commanded to have great fear and great caution when he goes to the Beis Hamikdash. Certain areas he's not allowed to walk in. Only in certain states is he allowed to go. There are ways how he must be dressed when he goes. He's not allowed to drink wine when he goes there. And so forth and so forth. Yira Yisera Nitzdav Al Hamikdash. There's other times when we know that this is a man's domain and he can indulge. Shabbos is both intertwined. It's a time of bracha, of closeness, of tainug, of enjoyment, of physical bracha. And at the same time, he realizes that it's the greatest kiddush of time. It's Kodesh Baruch Hu's day. V'leisasiko malocho. And he must not desecrate it with any malocho. The kiddush is so great that he must be careful what he does. He must be careful the way he acts. He must be careful the way he speaks. Dabe dobe. This comes from the Zohar and the Shomor, with Dibur Echorim. Both of these were said in one dibur, intertwined in one. And they come by a Vorach Eisai, Al Kein Beirach Hashem HaShabbos, which is Vorach who gave Brocha, by Kachehu, and he gave Kedusha, even though they are contrary. And both of these dimensions of a Shabbos Kalo and a Shabbos Panach. This is somewhat of an insight into what Shabbos is. And from here we can see how one must be careful to be mechabed Shabbos, to honor Shabbos properly, and to conduct himself properly when it comes to Shabbos. It's the day that not a Kodesh Baruch Hu rested on Shabbos because he finished his work. To the contrary, he finished his work in order to rest on Shabbos. It's the day which binds the world to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, brings HaKadosh Baruch Hu close to the world, and elevates the world up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It has both worlds in it. And this is why the Chazal tell us Shabbos is Me'ein Eilam Haba. It's Me'ein Eilam Hazen, Me'ein Eilam Haba. It's the Nekuda that binds both worlds together. Person starts understanding some of the insights and concepts of Shabbos, he has a different derech eretz for it. This is why the Chazal instructed us that a person must be careful. The Lohar certainly has to be careful, but he must be careful the way he dresses on Shabbos. He must be careful the way he walks on Shabbos. The Gemara says also, "Moshe Yisrael see gaso." Moshe is even out to walk on Shabbos. Not supposed to run on Shabbos or hurry. He should be careful how to speak on Shabbos. That would govern. He must be careful to be mechaved Shabbos keroi, to honor Shabbos properly. And it's not on the Shabbos itself. I remember hearing from a Jew in Bonovich that he said, when the Ponovitch Rav Zachain Rocha came through Ponovitch as a guest, they asked him to say in the Rosh. They asked him to speak. It was Shabbos. So he said, "I want to speak about Shabbos, but what should I tell you?" He says, "You all keep Shabbos, so I can't tell you about keeping Shabbos." He said, "I won't speak about Shabbos, I'll speak about Erev Shabbos." He says, "The Shabbos in Ponovitch is wonderful, but not the Erev Shabbos." What did he mean and what did he speak about? We find many times, speaking about people who keep Shabbos, that the Erev Shabbos is not an Erev Shabbos. If a person will remember his grandfather or his grandmother, Friday was Erev Shabbos, Thursday night already was Erev Shabbos. Who has time? Thursday night, someone would want to schedule something that was unheard of. Thursday night is Erev Shabbos. Friday to schedule something is Erev Shabbos. The Gemara in Bava Kamma talks all kinds of sugyas. Erev Shabbos. It says that Kodesh Baruch Hu himself hurried on Friday to create six creations instead of three creations, in order to finish before Shabbos. And evidently, even the Shadim didn't seem like he had time to finish. Rashi uses the Loshans, Kofle Malachte. He doubled his work on Friday, in order to finish in time for Shabbos. Those of you who remember your grandmothers, remember when it came Thursday or Friday, a Jew was asking, Shabbos is coming. Queen is coming to the city. Kal is coming. This is what the Ponovitch Rav is bringing out. Kal v'chem in our times, and our times. Thursday night, Friday, it's a regular day. This goes into what we're referring to here. The Rambam brings just two final, just very nice memorial. The Rambam brings the end of Hilchos Shabbos, very at the end, Perek Lamed, Halacha Tes Bo. First he writes us that Shabbos and Aveiros Zora, two of the most severe Aveiros in the Torah, and if you desecrate Shabbos or idolatry. And then he goes into these halachos. Then he writes, if you come Mishabeach and Novi Vayme, Ashrehem is Yasis, Venom and Yaksin Boshem, Shabbos Mechalol. Therefore, the Novi says, fortunate is the man who will do this and who will be Shemer Shabbos from desecrating. We call a Shemer as a Shabbos Kilchosa, and anyone who keeps Shabbos like the Halacha, Umechabda. Not enough really to keep Shabbos, not to do Malacha. Why? Not to do Malacha on Shabbos. So you fulfill Shomo as Shem HaShabbos Tachash. But there's a mitzvah Zohar also. The Rambam says, whoever Shem HaShabbos Kilchosa, who mechabd, and he honors Shabbos, Uma'ang, and he is misaneg. He causes himself to enjoy Shabbos. Kefi keichai, in accordance to all of his power, in accordance to his means. So the Nach tells us that his reward in this world is even greater than the reward in the next world. Shabbos is something that brings reward to this world. We mentioned because it's the attachment to this world. We see Borchu B'mon. Shabbos brought Mon into the world. It wasn't bringing about the reward for the next world. Greater is his schar in this world, even more than next world. Shnemar os tistanek al Hashem ve'kavticho al bom se'oretz ve'chalticho nafles Yaakov v'licho kipi Hashem diber. Os tistanek al Hashem, those who will be nisanek will enjoy Kodesh Baruch Hu, then they will have nafles Yaakov v'vino. The Medrash tells us that by Abraham it doesn't mention Shabbos. By Yitzchak it doesn't mention Shabbos. By Yaakov it mentions Shabbos. What does it say by Yaakov Shabbos? It says by Yichan Kenei Yir. He came into the city of Ayichan and he camped. And the Chazal tell us why. Because the sun was setting and he wanted to make an Eruv. So by Yaakov we mentioned Shabbos. So the Gemara says that the bracha given to Abraham was limited. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that as far as you'll see, this will belong to you. But further than you can see will not belong to you. By Yitzchak also was given a limited bracha. But by Yaakov was said, believe it's only Gufarashtu. By Yaakov it was written that he will spread it out without any limitation. And that's why it's called Nachlis Yaakov Avinu. Whoever will be Shemesh Shabbos Uma Chabda Umis Ango, and the Ango, he will be Zeche to a reward which is unlimited. By Yaakov was placed no limitation. Just want to conclude with one very nice medrash, which has to do on what we're speaking about. And this is in Perek. This is in Perek. Just found it. is in Perek Yud Aleph, Os Gimel. Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yosi Shailel the Rebbe. They asked Rabbi Shmuel, asked the Rebbe, Bnei Bavel b'shchus mayim chayim. The people of Bavel, in what shchus did they live? So the Mephoreshim say that the question was, in what shchus are they zeichu to Ashius? This that they have a life of wealth. Those that have a life of wealth, through what shchus? Amalei b'shchus ha-Torah. This was the shchus of Torah. Bavel with Bnei Torah. Bavel. The Talmud Bavli was created. They were great Bnei Torah. So through the shchus of Torah. Bnei Eretz Yisrael b'shchus ha. For the children that lived in Israel, through what shchus are they zeichu to wealth? Bnei Eretz Yisrael were not to the Madrega of Torah that the Bnei Bavel were. So what shchus did they have that they would be zeichu to wealth? He said, "B'shchus Maisrus," because in Eretz Yisrael they had the Maisrus. They would give portions of their crops to the Kahanim and to the Levim, and this was only a mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael. And Torah says, "Aser Taser," give Maisrus, should be zeichet to Ashiris, to wealth. So this was their channel to wealth. The Anshei Chutz La'aretz B'shchus Ma. So, but what about those not in Babel, where they were not such great on the Hechon, and those not in Eretz Yisrael? What was their shchus? He answered, "Amalei b'shchusheim machabdi nasa shabos esbiyotei." The b'shchus that they were machabed. Not only that they kept Shabbos, but they were machabed Shabbos and Yom. This is what brings wealth to Bnei Chutz La'aretz. And this is what the Rambam is writing. So then he brings it. Omer Rechizda Baramba, Pamachas, Zemnani Odom, Echot, the Lutkiya. One time, a man invited me into Lutkiya. Lutkiya was a place outside of Eretz Yisrael, outside of Bavel. And he was invited to Shabbos. And when it came time for the Suda, so they brought in a table which was so big that it had to be carried by 16 staves. 16 staves were used to carry the table. Ubay mikol ma shenivra b'sheishim e'bereishis. And every good thing that was ever created from the 6 days of Bereishis were on this table. And he had a small child sitting in the middle of the table. That was his job, and he was reading the pasuk Lashem Ha'aretz Melaah Tehu Yeshivah. He was reading the pasuk that everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything in the world belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kol kach lomos, he asked him why. He said, "Kedei shalei tozuv daiti shel balabaisu," in order that the balabaisu forget where everything is coming from. So he would engage a young child to sit on the table and to read the pasuk. All belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rav Chisda said, "Amalei b'ni mehenum zochise l'chol hakoved aser." He said, "My son," asked the balabaisu, he says, "what did you do that you were zeichu to have such wealth?" So he said, "Amalei tabach yisi." He says, "I was a tabach. I was a butcher. Kol behema yofesh or yisi raya. Kol yimei sashabes or yisi mafrisha l'shabes." He says, "every time I would see a beautiful animal, I would set it aside for Shabbos. Mati lei lei al mogin dochis." So I answered him, Rukhizda answered him. He says, "it's not for nothing that you were zeicha to this." This is what I had about that. That b'shchus ha-Shabbos, so brocha comes to people. These are a few insights into the concept of Shabbos, which the whole concept is very, very deep, but in hopes that it will give us a little more reading in the future.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.